Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
God is not talking, but you are feeling uncomfortable. So I say God is not talking. You want him to take a loudspeaker because of you, because of this small problem. He should pick a loudspeaker and be shouting from heaven. You are already feeling something inside of you. Pay attention to that. God is talking. I don't know if somebody is listening to me now. God is talking. Everybody here, God is talking to you. You cannot, it's not until you are praying 21 hours a day. Listen to your heart. The voice of God is there. First Corinthians 2 verse 15 say the natural man verse 14 and 15 but the natural man does not appreciate the things of the spirit for their foolishness to him. When you tell a natural man to pray, he will be asking you why. You need to use your sense. Stop sleeping in the church. Everything is not prayer. China has built industries. They don't go to church in China. Say the natural man. Spiritual things are what? They are foolish to him. The China man you are saying that you are referring to, they are Buddhists too. And they don't play with their gods. The ruler of China becomes a child when he goes to the Buddhist temple. He will worship, bow his head. They chose one man to be a prime minister. The first day, started arranging things in front of the office. First day, since you people refuse to learn, I will teach you. Who told the altar Sanori? You want to pull me out of this place where you removed the last person? I came with my altar. Anywhere you meet with resistance, look for principalities. And principalities rest on altars. They don't just congregate around rubbish. They must be an altar, because altars beckon to spirits. Say the natural man doesn't appreciate the things of God because they are foolishness to him. You want to commonize everything. You want to explain everything scientifically. And that is why many people are suffering. There are demons that are operating on the airwaves now that want to feminize men. They want men to become more like women. Come on, are you here now? They want to feminize men so that so that men will become weak. Then they want women to be more masculine or masculine. But there is a God in the scripture that is known as Ashtoreth. Ashtoreth is the demon responsible for that activity. Ashtoreth took the work of Jezebel to a new level. She brought temple prostitution. She made men, male priests, dress like women. You think people just go on YouTube and online and say, you know, we'll talk about gender rights. The spirit of Ashtoreth is in town. What a man can do, a woman can do, go to Ukraine and prove it. I'm not arguing, just go to Ukraine. I'll believe you after that one. We are built differently. We must appreciate that distinction. That's a woman can be saying to me, I just want a child or two children, but I don't want them to have any business with their father. So So that's their altars. Then those boys will grow up and they will become, they would have been feminized. In the US, they are arguing right now whether a 3-year-old child can determine if he wants to be a boy or a girl. 3 years old. A boy that is saying, cuckoo, 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 cuckoo. He should determine his gender. And you guys think something is wrong. You think it's just on the microphone. There are spirits in the land. Spirits of Ashtoreth. Say the natural man. Doesn't appreciate the things of God. They are foolishness to him. Satan will not build his camp at my gate again. Won't allow it. So, I want you to go back, download all the messages, get your headset, you know, or the recommended one, JBL, or get, what's that one, Sony. Those big ones. Talk about 15,000 or 25. Go and get one and plug it in. Your eyes will be open. The day we begin to allow drag queens, do you know who those refer to as drag queens? They dress in a particular way. Men that dress like women to be giving speeches in churches. Because we want to encourage, they have something inclusion, but. So some people are studying that as masters now. But you will not get a job. Because it's a failed project. The heavens have rejected it. You will go and be a lecturer. That's the only job you do. You can't do any other thing with your life. Teaching people that they are. God didn't make us to be equal. He made us to be distinct. Say, if you're a woman, enjoy it. And if you're a man, to enjoy spending money on your wife. So let everybody stand in his. Let everybody stand in his calling. If you're a woman, enjoy collecting money from your husband. You people like me now. Let's open the Bible. Nobody should quote me after this service. Nobody should quote me. I just spoke by the Spirit. And nobody should remind me of my message. Hallelujah. You see, the beautiful thing is when you are able to see what is going on in the natural realm, and you can clearly understand what is going on in the spiritual. Yeah. You'll be very wise. When people are talking, don't be quick to say, sorry to cut him. No, listen. When you listen to someone constantly, you will know the spirit that is talking to. Just listen to them for like 3 minutes. Don't interrupt them. They will talk. Then start saying rubbish. They don't have anything to say. Most times you want to, because you don't want them to waste your time, you are trying to interject. You don't know. Allow them talk. So at the next time they ask for an appointment, you tell them, sorry, I'm busy. It's because you've, from the last experience, it's a spirit of ulabalu. It's something is talking somewhere. Nothing. And you are, somewhere in your mind, you already think is the incoming. Come on now. Are you with me? You already think, if you be this guy, and I told you about a month or two ago, I said the Lord will release a spirit of error. I said it here. I said they will begin to say, and that I said it here. Why party like I didn't say? I'm not a member of any party. I'm just telling you that with your own eyes, you will know who the Lord has rejected, but you can still put him there. But you will know the kind of king you will have. Because that government will be Ulabalu. You can't quote me. I speak by the anointing. If you have an issue, take it with my employer. Genesis 8:20. When you look at what is going on in the seat of power, the political sphere and the economy, you will understand what is going on spiritually. And Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean four-footed animal and of every clean fowl or bird and offered burnt offerings on that altar. The emphasis here is on the word clean. Another emphasis is on the word altar. The reality of altar is not just a New Testament thing. It's something that before the law, before the law of Moses, altars existed. And that's why you find most times when the Israelites were restored to God, they will raise an altar again. Come on, are you here? Every time the Israelites were repenting and coming back to the Lord, they would raise an altar again. On that, they could, and they would give it a name. If you are a spiritual person, you must be a man of altars. Everywhere the Lord visited Abraham, he raised altars. I'm not asking you to go and be looking for 6 inches and 9 inches block. That's not what I said. Because some of you now are already remembering Baba Moruf, who sells block behind your house. I'm not talking about Baba Moruf. We are speaking spiritual things here. I said Abraham. Every major spot where God revealed himself, he raised an altar. Because altars don't die. Altars are ageless. Every time you mark a territory with an altar, even if you fall, you cannot fall below the last altar that you raised. Please understand what I'm telling you. There's a man in this country that wants to be a leader. And for the last 20 years, has been going to church, big churches, contributing to buying land, building cathedral, allow his wife to be doing what he's doing. And people thought it's because he's nice. It's an agenda. Unfortunately, this other man from the north is also a man of altars. At least I have one personal experience on that one. I mean the man from the north. Me, I like using natural things to explain this because it's so easy. I think it was in the year 1999 when he first became a... So he sent for a particular bishop, one of the main bishops in Ibadan. So if you don't know that man, it's okay. That he wanted him to come and pray for him. And they brought an helicopter. The man now said he couldn't make it. Sent one of his assistants to go. So when they landed at the city of A, and they landed, the man saw the assistant or the bishop that was there. He said, "Are you the one that was sent to pray for me?" Say yes. He knelt down for that young bishop. See, the relationship between pastors and politicians, it's only God that can separate it. When a politician wants something, he can roll on the floor for you. But after then, you will know he's the one. But now, I don't mind. He will roll on the floor and tell you, just vote for me. I'm telling you how altars are built. He knelt down for that young bishop. That one laid down the power of God on the bishop of the anointing upon my bishop. When he was going, there was a big Ghana must go for the bishop, the one in Ibadan. So he gave it to the man of God for sending this wonderful prayer warrior to come and pray for him. Anywhere there's sacrificial offering, altars are raised. I didn't say you gave what was convenient to. I said anywhere there's sacrificial offering, something that took something from you. Like the way Elisha left his business and served Elisha. Elijah. That's what I'm talking about. Sacrifice. Doesn't always have to be money. Are you with me? Because some of you are trying to bind altars in your families that were established by sacrifice. Meanwhile, there's no element of sacrifice in your own walk with God. Are you with me? I say you are trying to destroy an altar that blood was used to establish. Meanwhile, you, if they say fast, it's hunger that will wake you the next morning. These are spiritual things. So, there are three of them in this country now vying for the same role. And two of them are known to be men of altars. They don't discriminate, though. They give to both sides. One of them doesn't spend shishi. Say, I don't spend shishi. Okay. We shall see. So I don't spend shishi. Go and verify. We are verified. No way for you, sir. The idea of an altar is a physical construct where blood is shed. That which is the measure of a man's life is given. The idea of an altar is something that is sacrificial. And that's why even the Lord requires in Romans chapter 12 that we lay our lives on the altar. Romans chapter 12 says that we should lay our lives on the altar. Because God will not take anything less than that. Paul was an established lawyer, but God requested for that which represented fulfillment in his career and told him to come into a full-time ministry. That's a sacrifice. So Noah was a man of altars. Noah built an altar to the Lord. But it was not just about the altar. It was about the kind of sacrifice. The Bible says they were very clean. Not stolen money. Not stolen money. Not money that you took from your office. Abraham was also a man of altars. I looked at all the major men of God in the Old Testament. They were men of altars. I'm telling you why many people are praying and they are not seeing results. Because some people are saying, Pastor, I've been praying. Show me the altar. And show me the sacrifice on the altar. Nobody will tell you what should be on that altar. You are the one that will determine. You and your God. You will determine what is there. Come on, are you still here? This kind of message, people know they like them, but it's okay. God can make covenant with a family and with a generation because of the sacrifice that somebody in that family made years ago. So there's a particular story I'm researching now. I'll share with my wife. I won't give her the details, but if I ask you to mention the four major men of God, those in their late 70s and 80s now, the first four, who will you mention? Adams, Baba Adebowale, Bishop Oyedepo, W.F. Kumuyi. Who else? Is Tony Jordan 80? I'm not sure. But yeah. Who? Mike Okonkwo, Bishop Mike Okonkwo. Yeah? Paimiko. Now, out of these five people you mentioned, take out those who are not pastors. The first three you mentioned, there's a particular person amongst them. You see, God can give you history in unexpected places. I went to the hospital last week to see my doctor, some routine check and all. And the man looked at me, and he looked at my surname and said, "Was your uncle or is somebody in your family like this?" I said, "Yes." Then he started telling me things about my family. That the last time that I heard about those things from my dad, I was below 10 years. So one of these three people you mentioned, the three babas, so many years ago, one of them fell terribly sick. Terribly sick. And from your alma mater, he felt so sick that people felt, at some point, he called all the elders in the church and said, he perceives he will not survive. One of those three people. This was like in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. He said he perceived that he will not survive. And that peradventure he dies. This is the next senior or general vassia or whatever you like to call it. That is the name. And he wrote my uncle's name down. Put it in an envelope, handed it over to the elders. When you listen to fathers of faith speaking, don't just listen to their message. Listen to their pains. When a man of God tells you Jesus can heal you, I want you to know that he has also struggled with his health before. This man of God preaches healing, but he was sick unto death. And at some point, after praying and praying and praying and praying, and the thing was not abating, he said, maybe the Lord wants to take me up. And he wrote somebody's name down. It's just like as we are here now. I write Johnny Wuji's name as the next senior pastor. Even John laughed because he doesn't believe it. Because John is holding the camera. So I now gave the list to Pastor David. Then David raised a gang against John. And that small boy. They just used John like this. Rubbish him. Small boy. And my uncle fled for his life. God, he was actually a small boy. But he was so close to the G. He was so close to the G that he was loved. And because he represented a younger generation, so he wanted him to take over. But they fought him. So he fled for his life. Eventually, the man of God recovered and he did not die. I'm saying this because, you see, to deal with altars, you need history. This man sat, he was supposed to be telling me, okay, let me check your blood pressure, let me do it. I'm meeting this man like for the first time, and he just started speaking to me, and I started remembering when that problem started, and my uncle was making cassette tapes and sending it to my dad that in case I don't make it, sent in those days we used this cassette, it will record several like batches, my journey in this church, my journey, this is what the G said to me in private, this is what was happening, this is what's going on, I don't have access in my church again, he started saying so many things. My father gave me those messages to listen to as a young boy, as if he knew I would be a pastor. Some of the prayers you are praying, they are locked in history. Don't pray. Go home and ask your dad, who did you fight with? That your brother, that's our uncle. The reason why these two families are not relating, go and ask. Don't ask him in front of everybody. Lock the door. Mama, what really happened when my father died? What really happened? that I'm just concerned. I want to know. I'm not blaming anybody. I just want to know. You will hear stories. Many of those things have been kept from you because they don't want the battle to continue with your generation. But if you don't address it, there will be no freedom. Are you with me? Are you still here? So I'm not talking about things I don't know. There are some people, no matter how good they are, they always have problems with their bosses. Does that make sense? Does that make sense, somebody? I say, no matter how good you are on the job, you will always have issues with your bosses. Go and check your siblings and you will see two or three of them that have that same problem. Those are patterns. When you are dealing with foundational patterns, you have to go beyond the fruit. Trace the root. Roots are hidden. The only way you know that there's something going on here is when you see the kind of fruit growing on that tree. Then you now see, this thing has happened to this person, it has happened to that person. There's something going on here. That's what will tell you the kind of root that is in the ground. So the pattern will let you see the symptom. Don't close your eyes. The moment you see it in two or three places, don't close your eyes. Start praying. Altars are real. God establishes altars. Satan does the same. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a Christian thing. I say it's a spiritual thing. It's not a Christian thing. A few days ago, somebody reached out to me, you know. My wife has decided to, with due respect, hinder many of us from sleeping in the house. So, somebody reached out to me. I didn't tell you this. Somebody reached out to me and said, I had a vision I was in your house. Bessie is not here. He's not in this church now. Bessie reached out to me and said, I had a vision. I saw myself in your parlor. And I saw an elderly man sitting with your wife. Say you had gone out. And I told the person, describe this man. And when she described, I laughed. I said, that's the elder that has followed me from the very first day this church started. That's the prophetic elder that has followed me. He sat in my parlor conversing with my wife. But I know the meaning. Okay, I will not give you those details. Let me tell you. Every altar must have a sacrifice. But more than that, every altar must have spiritual activity around it. Do you understand? I say every altar must have what? Spiritual activity around it. And what kind of activity are we talking about? The activity of continuous prayer. When the Lord revealed himself to Jacob, and he renamed that place from Luz and called it Bethel, then he later got married and moved on with his life, but began to struggle. The Lord visited him and said, go back to the last place I revealed myself. That's why I told you, because some of you think I'm saying cliche, that when a man has raised an altar in a particular level, you cannot fall below it again. It's like a support zone. It's a support zone. Even if you meet with resistance at the top and you start crumbling down, the last place you had your encounter will form a tough support for you. You will not start from the scratch. You will start from that last place you had an encounter. So God told him, go back to Bethel, where I first met with you. And he got there, and before they entered, what did he say to his wife? Take away your earrings. Delete your Instagram app. There are some prayers you want to pray. You cannot go in with your phones. If you mean business, you're going with your notebook, your pen, go with extra pen, in case the devil attack the first biro. I'm saying something serious here. Because some of us have learned to pray only with our phones. It's okay. But I'm saying when it is a matter of somebody's destiny, you will leave the phone in the parlor, put a wall clock in your room. This is 12 midnight. We are not leaving yet till 4 a.m. All you have is your rechargeable torchlight, in case they take the light, and your paper and your notebook. That is your pen and your paper. That's all. If you mean business, so you know, some of you will argue. You will take away all those things, because just when you are about to break through, you will see a message that will come in. Hey, are you awake? Then your mind will tell you, oh, maybe it's an emergency. Are you God? Even if it's an emergency, are you God? You already covenanted with the Lord to meet him for 4 hours. And at 2 a.m., when the murders of the night, when my mothers of the night decide to begin to move around, you got a message. Hi dear, are you awake? No, I'm awake. I'm sleeping. If I was sleeping, will I see the message? And you didn't see that as a warning sign to turn off that phone. Some of you, your WhatsApp is only showing last seen 2 minutes ago. You have never been away for 1 hour consecutively. It's always few minutes. There are some things you will not touch. I'm not lying, I'm just being honest with you. Because the spiritual realm can, once it lays on you, it pulls you in. It cannot pull you in if you are heavy. You have to be light. Jacob said to his wives and to his children, remove your earring, remove anything that will distract you. Where we are going now, no man's land. And he renamed that place El Bethel. What does Bethel mean? The house of God. What does El Bethel mean? The God of the house. The first time you came, you encountered the house of God. This second time, I want to meet with the God of this house so that I will not be lost. Because you can be in church but be lost. Yes. You can be in church and be lost. Altars are built after consistent patterns of prayer and seeking the Lord on a particular spot. That's why you may not like the CAC people. Eh? You may not like them, but they know something. They go back to the same place their father prayed. Apostle or Babalola. And they prayed there. Apostle Babalola was praying after the Lord told him to seek him. And he prayed. And the answer to his prayer was that rain fell and beat him there for hours. Beat him there for hours. If it was to be one of us or this generation, the moment rain starts falling, we'll say, brethren, let's look for Pastor David. Can we move this meeting? We start permutating. Do you know why most big churches do their conventions end of the year? It's because of rain. They won't tell you that one. It's me that will tell you that. Because rain can mess you up. If you do crusade in the July, this thing, it's not Satan that will stop you, it's rain. I'm not saying it's a bad idea, I'm just telling you. But when God told Ayobabala to meet with him in the forest, the God didn't tell him that the answer to your prayer will be rain. The rain beat him there. And what was God saying to him? I want to use you to dismantle the foundation of witchcraft in the southwest. That was all. How many times did you see Ababala speaking in tongues? How many times? But you speak in tongues, but no power. There's a difference between being able to speak in tongues and to be to be anointed with power. Eh? Those are the prayers. One of the prayers I pray for myself, that Lord, anoint this tongue so that when I say it, let it be like that. So I won't be struggling with the evil spirit. Come out, come out, come out, come out. If you like, don't come out. I'm going. I will not waste my time and be casting out. Even when I didn't have prayer life, I didn't spend 3 hours with a demon. When I didn't have prayer life. Ayobabalola was beaten by rain there. The moment he got up and was leaving, a madman walked past him. And the breeze of Ayobabalola's body, pew, set him free. He didn't pray. That's the day Babalola knew that he had touched something. It didn't happen in 1 minute. He knelt down in that forest on the floor, prayed. If you want to be a man of altars, you cannot take away prayer. Because this same man, he didn't know too many Bible scriptures. But he was asked to pray over food. You know that story? He was asked to pray over food. And he prayed for 3 days. Just him, his wife and children. Daddy, pray for us so we can eat. You know, he prays in Yoruba. He doesn't speak in tongues. That's why. Because some of you are lying and hiding under speaking in tongues. I'm telling you that our father didn't speak in tongues, but he was powerful. So let's know the color of the problem. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the food you have provided. Then start praying for all the mission feeds, all the places they have gone to do crusade, and the places they are still going. After the wife got up out of anger, packed the food, held her daughter's hand, then left him. On the third day, he was already holding the table. Father, he was sweating. Father. That's the man you want to compete with. I'm telling you, go back and take away that dust from your altar. There is ashes on this altar. It is not that God is not working with you, but God doesn't move close to people without altars. Hear me clearly. There must be sacrifice on that altar. There must be an element of sacrifice in your journey with God. How can you be a man of God? How can you be a child of God? And there is nothing Jesus took away from you since you started walking with him. Everything is the way it used to be. That there is nothing you walked away from because you are following Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. No sacrifice on this altar. No, it's not possible. Jesus has not taken your sleep for 3 days. He has not. See, you will continue to teach the word. Continue to teach the word until you collapse. Because the word of God must blend with prayer. That's the way it works. So you can establish a pattern. You can establish a pattern of praying, systematic praying, in a way that the heavens know that 11 p.m. there is a voice we will hear from Nigeria. I'm not talking about singing Hillsong and Jesus culture. I'm saying you have your tambourine and you are singing, Jesus, we are here, Father. When they hear that voice, they know Yvonne has come. They know that this voice, we are familiar with this one. Not the one that is only when you are in crisis. You just shout, Father. I say, who is this stranger disturbing our afternoon siesta? Don't be a stranger to your father's house. God is a God of altars. God honors altars. You don't pull an altar out of a family if you are not ready to replace it with another. Some of you have siblings, you cannot pray together. Some of you have siblings, you cannot discuss spiritual things together. Is that a good sign, no? That's why I moved towards those olden days fathers. I'm happy with them. They may not know the catalismo and the soteria that I know, but they know something and I'm okay with it. Don't be deceived by wearing suit. Don't be deceived that someone is making air. Before you enter into a covenant relationship with a man in the name of marriage, check if there are altars. There must be an altar, whether good or bad. Check. Entertainment, education, going to UK, going to Canada, getting your PhD from Antarctica will not take away the altars. It will not. There's a way you will pray. If you are going to bed, you will say, this night, no witch is permitted to fly over this area. You just take away their license. Take it away. And there's nothing they can do. But you have established a pattern. And I'm telling you, to build this pattern, you are not praying against problem. People are praying 7 hours against problem. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying you have come into a place of seeking the Lord because He is God. 7 hours. I'm talking about praying in the Spirit. 7 hours. I'm talking about sitting down for 4 hours. You are not picking calls. You are not responding to anybody. You are just quiet. Meditating on God's word. Come on, are you here? Is God speaking to you? Are you here? You don't establish altars by fighting demons. You establish altars based on revelation of who God is. So you can tell your children, anytime you think you are in trouble, sing the song I used to sing. That song was a song of the Lord given to me. Sing it. Your Father in heaven knows who is singing. But you get to that level of covenant. Are you with me? You get to that level of covenant where God can transfer the blessings generationally. Where God can say, I love David, I will bless Solomon. Because of Solomon, I will not take the kingdom from his own son too. And God continued to preserve. The same reason why Israel cannot be defeated today is USA or UK notwithstanding. You can't be lazy. If you are lazy, you can't get this one. In Exodus chapter 17 and verse 15, I'm trying to bring out a point here. Moses built an altar and called it what? Jehovah Nissi. You can name altars. Are you with me? What did I say? I say you can name altar. That problem that has been marked to your family, you can raise an altar and name it to counter the effect of that thing. These are spiritual things. Was it Samuel that built an altar and called it Ebenezer? Or was it Ephzibah? Ephzibah. You can name altars. Don't be naive. Don't be naive. A lot of people are playing and they think they are being spiritual. Don't be naive. You cannot. There's no vacuum in the spirit realm. The moment you have made up your mind to deal with this thing, you must replace it to something. If people are not giving birth or people are not getting married in your family, and there is, you address it and raise another altar and say, from today, all the women or the female children who come out of this family, they will become fruitful. Name the altar. Please tell your neighbor, name the altar. Because altars deal with the root. Altars deal with the root. They are hidden. They are hidden. That people now can build civilizations, technology, doesn't affect altars. You can name a personal altar. You can name a family altar. In 1 Kings chapter 9 verse 25. 1 Kings 9, 25. And 3 times in a year did Solomon offer burnt offerings and peace offerings upon the altar which he built unto the Lord. And he burnt incense upon the altar that was before the Lord. And so he finished the house. Look at that scripture. How many times a year? That last time, it was 1,000 animals we offered. That should be enough. Nobody has done it before. No, sir. No, sir. If you know you have no other place to go, take God seriously. He offered it 3 times. Was there any Lord that said he must do it 3 times? It's revelation. Put pressure in the spirit. Some of you are having your homes assaulted. Take an anointing oil and mark your territory. I'm talking now. Mark your territory. See, when I see the blood, I'll pass away. The counterpart of the blood is the oil. You're always having oppressive dreams and whatever. Take the anointing oil and mark your territory out. No rubbish comes in here again. See, he offered 3 times a year. So, 12 months divided by 3. 4. That means once every 4 months, on the scale of 12 months, he will go before the Lord and offer sacrifice befitting to the Lord. Please hear me with your spirit, because I'm talking to somebody now. The reason why you pray, it looks like the problem subsides. Then later, it's like the branches grow again. That's what we are talking about. And he burnt incense unto the Lord. He burnt incense. So this one is not about shouting hallelujah. It's how you are going to, what you are going to do after this message. That's the next thing. Families can have altars. Even when physically those altars are no more there, spiritually they are still there. Families can have altars. If you don't deal with the altar, the deliverance will be temporary. Now there's something I want to raise here. You can defeat the purpose of raising an altar by offering a very useless sacrifice. Hello? Are you here? I'm not preaching to everybody, but are you here? I said you can defeat the purpose of raising an altar by offering a useless sacrifice. Genesis 4:4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. So you need to look at the quality of the sacrifice. The Bible says he brought the first. So they paid him 500,000 naira. Let's say, for instance, his salary. He honored the Lord by not touching the salary until he had first given the tenth. Come on, are you here? Hello? Nobody will catch you if you do otherwise. I'm just telling you how God thinks. God never takes second position. He will not touch third. He will not touch tenth. If you honor him, he wants to see it in what you do. If you honor the Lord, he wants to see it where? In what you do. Some of you take your paper, budget for the month. The first thing you write is food. Then your friend is doing a wedding, Ashwebi. Then at the end of the day, you now say, ah, my tithe. Ah, if I repay this tithe now, then what will be left will just be 20,000. Wow. Now you are looking for how not to pay again. Or how to give. Meanwhile, the last time last man caught you, you know what you parted with. Because you are going for a major event. You could not afford to, you could not afford to, for your vehicle to be towed. Because once he enters their office, it's a different story. You gave them 35,000. People always expect God to understand. God doesn't need your money, and I got to tell you. But because money is a system of exchange that has meaning to us, God is interested. It doesn't mean anything to him. They don't spend your naira. Your naira has no value in the US dollar, in the US economy, not to even talk of heaven. So it's not your money. It's the firstlings. The Bible says he offered the firstlings, the best. One of my friends who lives in the UK now. He's been there for like several years. And his pastor, while we were, way back in those years, his pastor was not like someone who dresses so well. But my friend is a bit exposed. So my friend will come every time we come back, he will buy all the shirts that his parents gave to him. He could wear the same size with his pastor. He will take everything and give to his pastor. Pastor said, I don't need. He said, no. You know, you are standing in front of microphone. People should know that our pastor is dressing well. And the pastor was wearing it. One day the pastor confessed in private that if Jesus comes now, it's like this boy will take all the crown. Because he just looked at his life. Everything around him that people appreciated were gifts from this brother. My own friend didn't believe in wearing jeans. That's how bad the situation was. He didn't believe you are a serious Christian if you wore jeans. But because of the activity of our other brother, God helped him. He started wearing jeans and started looking very fine. So you're welcome to service this morning. God bless you. We'll start clapping. Oh, we love Pastor M. Everybody loves Pastor M. They were clapping. That brother graduated, made it to the UK free. The last 10 years now, has lived in the UK, blessed. But those of us then who called him a fool, everybody's still alive. We can see where everybody is. God is a God of sacrifice. God could have used his voice to say, let everybody be saved. If you believe in me now, you'll be saved. God knew that nobody will be saved without sacrifice. So he sent his son. He knew. It's a spiritual law. I will not give to the Lord so anything that does not cost me something. It's not Old Testament. It's the way the spirit realm works. So I want you to think deeply. Peradventure, you are the one holding your next season back. You can make sacrifices in the place of prayer. You can make sacrifices in the place of study of the word. You can make sacrifices in taking out of your personal rest time and going to win souls. God looks at all those things. I don't think those who are doing it have time. They don't have time. Elijah knew the power of altars. 1 Kings 18 from verse 16. So Badiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went out to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed Baal. Next verse. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450. Bring them. And the prophets of the groves 400. Which eat at Jezebel's table. Now, go back. How many prophets of Baal? Hello? 450. How many prophets of the groves? Do the calculation. Against one man. Next verse. So Ahab sent unto the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, this is the problem most people have, you know. World today, Christ tomorrow. Worldliness today, Christ tomorrow. Wokeness today, spirit tomorrow. Prayerlessness today, prayerful when there's problem. How long will you decide between whether to serve God or not? If he is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. And the people answered him not a word, because they have not made up their mind. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophet are 450 men. Listen to me, you can only speak for yourself. Everybody can say, oh, we are serving God. Know your own. You don't know where other people are going to bow down and prostrate. There are people that come here after going to several places. They now come to me. They want to compare my prophecy with the one they gave them. Like somebody that see, just know your own. You understand? Because somebody went to Baba. That's what they called him. I thought it was like an elderly man of God. I didn't know it was Babalawo. Because they were saying Baba, Baba, Baba. I thought like, oh, a father in the faith. So I didn't bother to ask which of the fathers. And the father told them that these two people must not be allowed to get married. It was a marriage situation. These two people must not be allowed to get married. If they get married, this one, the boy will die immediately after the wedding. And they came to me. Say, Baba said. You know, if your pastor is not enough for you, you'll be meeting babas and all these people outside. And they'll be collecting your money. Me that I know they collect money. I did jeje. Eh? You people will not, you don't have shit until you lose it. When you go, say, before you see the man of God, you pay 25,000. Pastor Benga is a good man. We know. It's you that just discovered. They went to Baba. The mother-in-law went to Baba. The mother of the girl went to Baba. Baba said, they must not be allowed to get married. So I now said, what did Baba... I know I was still thinking the Baba was an elderly man of God. And I said, what did Baba say was the solution? Because I already knew that thing that the Baba said. I knew the boy was going to die. But I could not tell him. Boy is 30 years old. But I knew. If you want to be in the prophetic, you will learn how to keep quiet more. Because people can't undo what you want to. If somebody is calling and Lord say, don't pray for him. Don't pray for him, no matter what he says. Somebody came to me after service last Sunday. And I just got home around 5 p.m. from church. And a person called me with a strange number. And I don't pick strange numbers. I picked the number before I realized. I'm outside your gate. What are you doing here? After how many years? He saw Chinese because in my area, my house, my estate, we have Indian people there. And he was prostrating on the main road trying to embarrass me. That I should pray for him. I said, I don't pray in the flesh. For me to pray for you, I have to check in my spirit that there's allocation of grace for the prayer. Do you understand what I just said? Okay, let's leave it. Because some of you don't agree. Anybody that comes, you pray. You now wonder why your prayers are not being answered. Long story short, the Baba said that they must bring the boy to the graveyard of his father. That they will bait for him there. That was when I said, sorry, which Baba are we talking about? Is it my father-in-law, Pastor Adewale? Or is it my father-in-law, Bishop? Tell me. Because I was suspecting before, but I wasn't. Who is this Baba? I say it's Baba. I say Baba now. Baba Sangoma. I say it's Baba. And you sat in my office. If you know what I'm hearing in that place. You sat in my office. Saying Baba. Hey! You went somewhere. Says my mother. I say, okay. This is what we will do. Do you want to go to Baba? Because you are going to die, yo. And I told you are going to die. Do you want to go Baba's way, or should I tell you my way? Say, Pastor, talk. Every Sunday after service, enter that office. I will lay my hands on you and I'll pray for you. Every Sunday. You must not miss one Sunday. The enemy struck him. He became very sick. They wanted to fly him out. Long story short, after the prayers, all the body parts in his body that the doctor said was condemned was changed to brand new. Today he's married with 2 children. So you go to a Baba's place or some strange prophet, strange person, and you think you didn't live there with altars. They took you there. They said you escorted your friend. You thought you escorted your friend. You got there, the Baba started prophesying to you. And you think the way you came there is the way you live. They've given you something, you are taking away. The moment there's an altar already planted in your life. Say, no, they are not doing anything bad though. It's water they are using to help people. And earth. Isn't why? Earth. They just pack the thing, put it inside bottle for you. Eh? And you are speaking in tongues. Ogugu. SNY. All in your own hands. That brother and his wife. This is the way you are looking at, as if they are not the ones I'm talking to. The way you are looking at me is like how that couple was looking at me. Come on, are you here? We dismantle every altar. Every altar that is hidden in history, every altar that is hidden in history that we don't have access to, today we destroy it. Amen. Look at that story. Let's round up with this story. There are actually two stories, but let's round up. The summary of the matter is that he asked them to bring two bullocks. Let's confirm who is the real God. I hope you know that ancient devils can call down fire. I hope you know that this is not actually the true test to determine which God is real. But because Elijah said so, all the other gods lost their capacity to deliver. I hope you know Songo can call down fire. Do you know there's one statue of Songo at Ikej, Nepal? I don't know what was the real name. Marina. One lightning this thing. Until they remove that statue, you will not have light in this country. Go and write it down. Huh? Did you hear what I just said? Okay. Some of you don't believe. You are waiting for an old prophet to say it. Don't worry. We'll be here together. May I have bought batteries? I'm going to install my inverter and leave you people in your and when the inverter fails, I'll move to Ivory Coast. Ivory Coast. I've just, you know, when I say some of this, I throw it. Some of you. Yeah. So he told them to dress the bullocks for themselves. I'm paraphrasing. And then he told them, go to the next verse. He said, call on the name of your God. And I will call on the name of my own God. And the God answered by fire, let him be God. And the people said, bam. Well spoken. Bam. Because it was a fair deal. They did not think their God will fail down. The chances were that when 450 people, imagine 450 people here praying, katapa, you see the eruption of power. And then there's one person on the other sheet. Our Father in heaven. Only him and his tambourine. You say, this one has failed. Physically speaking, we knew the scores. In one match, in one team, you have Ronaldo, you have Messi, you have Drogba, Pape. You have the best, the person that won the award of the best goalkeeper is in that team. Then you now say you are super ego. Then the first thing they did was to remove the super from your name. Because before the match starts, remove that super. Give us that super first. We are just ego. Then this one, they'll say, you be spelling chicken. We'll soon replace. They're not joking. They are going to mess you. Okay, Ronaldo will not start. We'll still give you 4-0. Something happened recently now. What are you looking at me like I'm lying? I said Ronaldo did not play. So if Ronaldo has played, voila. Say the God that answers by fire, let him go. They never thought it was not a good deal. Like today, it's either Jehovah will take this nation, or from here, every city in Israel will be given to Baal. But God cannot allow it because Jesus has not come. Next verse. Sometimes when God defends you, it's not your prayer. There is something God is targeting in your life. If God allows Satan to win today, it's over. It's not your prayer. Think, so Pastor, we prayed. Pastor, we pray. Pastor, I can. If I begin to explain, my wife, my children, 7 hours, I prayed for them. Pastor, do you know what I'm talking about? I say, yes. It's not your prayer. There's something God is looking at that in the next 5-7 years, we will need you to do something for us. That's all. So you cannot fail. The man said, Father, in the name of your fire came. I said, see, I don't know anything I talk. I just say, Father, my brother, it's not you. Go and sit down. It's not you. It's not. There's something God is looking at in your life. Say, Pastor, I pray. Pastor, if you see what happened that day. Don't worry. We thank God. We give God all the glory. He said, give me the next verse. Give me the next verse. Now, they started the prayer in the morning. But 6 hours later, it's like their God had not showed up. Now, before you judge them, I want you to see the tenacity of these people in prayer. These are the people you are competing against. They know how to pray. Offering incense. They were crying out loud. Elijah came and said, "Ah, you can see here. Ah. So what's going on now? How long are we going to be here? I told you, call on your God. You're this 6 hours. What's the big deal? Call on. Just do this thing. Let's go so we can know who is who. You are just here. Say, I showed on 6 hours. Is this how people do in your religion? I want to see your God. Look at. He said, don't call him or maybe he's talking. He's in a meeting. Management meeting. Association of Witchcraft in Asia and Africa. COPS 24. Call your God, or maybe he's pursuing somebody. Your God is so tired, he has to pursue. Or he's in a journey, he has traveled. Hey, is it possible he's sleeping? You know, that thing was in, sorry for our online audience, I don't understand Nigerian English. It was peppering them. Nothing is as painful as when somebody rubbish your God because of what you are going through. Nothing is more painful. It's as if your God cannot. And you are like, God, you can just do this. You can do this thing now. And God said, but I choose not to do it now. It's not your prayer, it's my timing. Oh yeah, let's go and wake him. Next verse. And they cried aloud, "Hey, Ogugu!" And they started cutting themselves. Took his Versace, tore it. Louis Vuitton, I went to record that thing. Checked. Started cutting themselves in ritual worship. It was not ordinary cutting, no. It was ritual worship. They were cutting themselves with knives. Blood started gushing out. Oh God of thunder. Oh God of blood. They were doing all those things. Sincerely, that their God is wicked. Do you want all your worshippers to die before you come? So who will be leading us in service? Next verse. And it came to pass when midday was past, then they started prophesying. Look at it. Those prophets started prophesying. For thus saith Baal in the name of Jesus. They started prophesying. They moved from prayer to intercession to prophecy. They moved from ritual into can you see the progression? These are the people you want to face. Meanwhile, you are praying. You are chewing gum. You have a pack of gums on your table. Chewing gum. At 12 in the afternoon. Just for 30 minutes prayer, you are chewing gum. They prophesied until when? Look at this. Until when? Read it. Until when? At the time of the evening sacrifice. Elijah was baiting them. There is a sacrifice that the Jews perform. It's called the evening sacrifice. In the New Testament, the evening sacrifice is worship. It's no more offering of animals. The scripture says, let the lifting of my hands. When I lift up my hands to God in worship, it's equated to the evening sacrifice in the Old Testament. So Elijah was not just waiting to call down fire. He was waiting for when God's timing will match with man's timing. Are you here now? He was baiting them and was marking time. Even Elijah knew he could not pray that prayer at 12. He needed to wait. So there are prayers you will pray. You are marking time. You are booting. For when God will say, now move. You are not just moving the flesh. You are not moving because they are saying, if you move now, you can catch up with your mate. You don't have mate. You don't have mate. You don't have mate. You are not catching up nobody. You are praying and you are booting. The Bible says he waited till it was time of the evening sacrifice. There's a morning and evening sacrifice in the Old Testament that God said they must do every day. They offer sacrifice to him. Every day. That there was neither voice nor answer, nor any that regarded. Next verse. And Elijah said to the people, Chioma, Amaka, Amadi, Benga, come near. Come near. The Lord has restored this nation to himself. Come near. You have tried. Come near. Those of you that are still alive, come near. Come near. Come near. That's the first thing God asks us to do. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Don't go. I love you. Come near. Come near. Don't allow your mistake keep you away from me. Come near. I will take away that altar, but come near. Don't hide anything from me. If you want me to help you, come out clean. Come near. And all the people came near to him, and the first thing the prophet did was he began to repair the altar. This altar is out of alignment. It must be built. Heaven must kiss the earth. There are 12 tribes in this family. Are you here? This family has 7 children. This family has 3 children. The altars must be built spiritually to match with the alignment of that family structure. Is somebody hearing me? It's not a game. It's strategic. There are 12 tribes. And he built the altar that was broken down. Hello? Which altar did he say was broken down? The altar these guys have been praying on didn't fall down. Hello? Did you hear me? I said the altar that these people were praying and calling on Baal and Chemosh and all those was still intact. So which altar? The touch point for heaven that was broken down, that has been abandoned for years, was the one that needed to be rearranged. And he came and he took 12 stones according to the number of the sons of Jacob, by whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name. So they began to trace prophecy. Because sometimes, if you don't look at your past prophecies, you will lose identity of yourself. You won't know what God has called you. You'll be looking at situations in your life and using it to determine who the world thinks you are. You need to go back to those things you have written. Remember the prophecies. This is who God called you. Say you're a mother of nations. You cannot be unmarried. You're a mother of nations. You go back to those prophecies. Next verse. And with the stones, he built the altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as to contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the block in pieces and laid him on the wood and filled and said, fill 4 barrels with water. Water represents the word of God. Water represents the Holy Spirit. And they poured it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. He didn't allow any of them to kill the animal for him. So you can imagine how lonely it would have been for one man, maybe with his PA, to hold an entire cow. He said, do it a second time. Do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran round about the altar. You see, your altar must be laced around with the word of God. The foundation of that altar is not emotion. Scriptures. Scriptures. Next verse. And it came to pass at the time of the evening sacrifice. I've asked the children to join us this morning, because the Lord will take away foundations, even from, not from your life alone, but from their own line. Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, not Jacob. The person God had covenant with was Israel. Learn how to map your spiritual route, because your inheritance is in your lineage. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your command. Next verse. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their hearts again. The fire of the Lord. Because some people try to be very spiritual, Adam. They're asking that, where is Holy Ghost fire? That's it. See, there's nothing like fire in the Bible. That's it. It's called the fire of the Lord. And he consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, licked up the water. So that water became maybe combustible, like fuel. That was in the trenches. And when all the people saw it, fell down. No argument. I say no argument. I say no argument. No argument. Ha! No argument. They fell on their face and said, "The Lord is God, the Lord is God, the Lord is God." Next verse. And Elijah said to them, "Arrest the prophet of Baal." Beautiful story. If you don't have mind, you can't remove ancient altars. Because for many years, for a long time, you will think you are alone in that battle. Are you with me? You need mind. Even on your own territory, Satan will be threatening you that we are not going anywhere. You have to stand your ground. And sometimes to stand your ground means stand your ground and be silent. You are talking too much. That's why they know you are weak. Are you here? Come on, are you here? Come on, are you here? There was another king. And I talked about that story last Sunday. In 2 Kings chapter 3, from verse 1 to the end. Despite having a prophetic word, the battle was going in the favor of the saints, in favor of God's people. The king lost more than half of his military. Let me look for a verse here. Give me verse 26. I don't know if that's the right one, but give me verse 26. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore, was too hard for him, he took with him 700 men. He needed to break the resistance. It's just like when I take 700 prayer warriors. When I call my friends, 10 of them, let's pray about this matter. Come on, are you with me now? They wanted to storm the gates of hell. He took 700 men. Let us deal with this matter in this family. They could not. Certain things don't answer to prayer. They answer to altars. Yes. Yes. Next verse. And he took his eldest son. Let me tell you, if you think he made this decision carelessly, that was not a careless decision. That was the heir apparent. So they must have consulted with their gods. So we need a sacrifice. If the oracle had said that it was the king's life, he would have laid it. When you are fighting battles where it seems like Satan, nobody cares whose horse is God, then you have to be prepared, because wherever they fight a battle does not remain the same, regardless of who wins. If you allow the devil to bring the battle into your house, you just bring people into your house without double checking with the Holy Spirit. So they say she's a nice girl, she's a nice boy. Oh, really? He took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him as a burnt offering upon the wall. On the wall. On the wall of the city. Took him there and stabbed him and offered him to his God. And there was a great indignation against Israel. That despite the fact God said they will be victorious, God turned against his own people. That what is this? An unbelieving king. that understands covenant more than my own people. This guy is not a Christian, but I would rather let him have the day. He said there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed. You know, if you read the earlier verses, the previous verses, Israel was already pursuing him. They were closing in. All of a sudden, it was like something happened. They just turned. No reason. The battle just faded. Physically, what people saw is that they suddenly turned. Without instruction from their own king. But what actually happened spiritually is that God turned against them. So the fighting power was withdrawn. Turned. And they turned to the other. Do you have any other verse there? Is that the last verse? These are spiritual things. God is raising a new generation in the earth. And Satan is also not resting. Because I see some young children that are beginning. Oh my God. I saw a group of young children that were being re-engineered biochemically. And I'm looking as far as Asia. They were being kept in a place and they were being re-engineered in their DNA. Listen. Whether you like it or not, this battle is not about you. It's about the next generation. You must not fail in the day that God requires you to be strong. If you are a father here, you cannot sleep anyhow again. Because your children are going to be in the same class with these people. They are going to attend the same schools with them. You cannot allow your children not to have the anointing over their heads. You cannot allow it. You cannot allow it. 15 years from now, this world as you know it will not exist. As you know it, everything would have changed. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, Scripture says we have been given a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. We command ancient altars to bow.